Well, a couple of weeks ago, on the first Sunday of January, we introduced some themes of vision for this year in an Outlook 2022, where we talked about being a people of commitment to God, a people with a heart for global mission, a people with a vision for church growth, and people of the Word. Many of you that were here that morning, and if you weren't here, you can go back and listen to that on our website, but those who were here, on the outline, we were challenged to write down some things that we would commit to the Lord this year for spiritual growth, whether it would be increased faithfulness, a next step in terms of salvation, baptism, church membership, commitment to faithfulness of Sunday morning worship service, of Sunday night learn service, of weekday connection service, or involved in serving in a regular ministry here at church, or whether it was knowing our missionaries, praying better for our missionaries, giving sacrificially to our missionaries in terms of church growth, committing to grow as an individual, to invite others, to welcome those who come, and to pray specifically for church growth. We're praying and asking the Lord to grow each of us individually, spiritually, to grow us spiritually as a church body, but also to grow us numerically. I want to invite you again to join in that prayer that the Lord would increase our attendance by 22% in 2022 so that there would be more worshipers, more growth, more service taking place for His kingdom impact. If we have 100 people that are praying daily for that growth, I think it will please the Lord to bless. And so please continue in those things. In terms of the people of the Word, if you've committed to read your Bible through in a year for the first time this year, or to read a chapter a day for the first time every day this year, or whatever commitments those were that you wrote on that paper, I just want to bring those to your memory and ask you how you're doing with those and encourage you, if you've been faithful in those areas, to continue to press on. If some of those things, maybe you wrote it down and you didn't remember it until I said it just now, and you've gotten away from those things, it's still early in the year, and God still wants to see growth in our lives in these areas. So let's get back on track. Let's remember those commitments we've made to the Lord, continue to make new commitments, to renew those old commitments, and to watch God grow us. As I stated there a couple weeks ago, nothing new or novel there, nothing that this church has not long stood for, but areas where we don't want to grow complacent, we don't want to be satisfied where we are as if we'd already attained, but we want to press forward. And I know that spirit is a spirit of fervor among many in our membership, and I want to share just a little bit, with the card sender's permission, of a card that I received. It was sent before I shared that message, but I didn't read it until after. It's dated very specifically of 12:31, the last day of 2021, and specifically time-stamped at 7:30 a.m. It says, "Dear Pastor Joel, per your urging, I just finished reading my Bible again this morning, last day of 2021. It is so exciting to read it through, all the way through." There's some exclamation points there. And then later in the letter, "My prayer for 2022 is that TRBC will grow in number, that many will be saved. I was saved March 9th, 1965, and my church family grows dearer every day." So what an encouraging card. It really shows a heart that, I believe is consistent with the heart of the core of our church family, of a people that desires to be a people of commitment to God, a heart for missions, a vision for church growth, and a people of the Word. I don't know if you've sat in maybe a Chinese restaurant or another Asian restaurant and seen the placemats that are often in those establishments that have the Chinese zodiac, different animals and years on there. I've never got into astronomy or horoscopes or the zodiac or any of that. I don't, people talk about their signs and stuff. I honestly don't know what my sign is or any of that. But if, you're waiting for someone to show up, or maybe waiting for your order to come, it's nothing else to look at sometimes, but just out of curiosity. So let's see what this thing has to say. So maybe many of you have done the same. It goes based on the year you're born. So we were looking at that and noticed that Sarah, my wife, based on the year that she's born, is the year of the dragon. So Sarah is a dragon, according to the Chinese zodiac. She doesn't mind me saying that. She's kind of proud of that. So I have to look at the year that I'm born in, Let's see what Chinese zodiac represents the year I was born in. So we looked that up and compare. And according to this thing, I'm the year of the bunny rabbit. And so and the bunny rabbit. Obviously, those things don't make any sense. They're just inaccurate and useless. But you know, there are people, and really, it seems like with a resurgence of emphasis that really get into some of these things. And with signs, so you can read about, hey, if you were born in this year, this is your sign, and these are the characteristics that you're likely to have, and here's what you should shoot for in life, and here are people to stay away from, and here's the signs of people that you could marry and couldn't, and all of these things that some people could quite a bit of stock into. And I was even talking to one person who had this app on their phone that showed all these things and details and was supposed to guide them, who to make close friendships with and all these things that, our world is really hungry for some bigger, outside, predetermined, cosmic revelation of truth that can give us meaning, that can give us purpose, that can give us identity, that can give us guidance for this life that we walk in. And aren't you thankful, as silly and superstitious as all of those things are, aren't you thankful that the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that God has spoken, and he has spoken in days past in various ways to our fathers through the prophets, and he has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, and that word is the word that we have in front of us. Chapter 2 says, confirmed by those who heard him and validated by signs and miracles from God the Father, so that we could know that the Scripture, which cannot be broken, gives us, Peter says, all things that pertain to life and godliness. That we're told in 2 Timothy by Paul that through these teachings, the man of God can be perfect, mature, complete, truly furnished to every good work. Aren't you thankful that we have a Bible, a sure word of God, inspired, inerrant, infallible, that can tell us the meaning of life, our purpose in it, our identity, and give us guidance and direction so that we can have a lasting impact through the choices that we make. That is our theme for this year, People of the Word. And back in the lobby, there are some old Bibles, some foreign language Bibles, some even a couple Bibles from different denominations just for historical reference for you to look at and compare. And we talked very briefly at introducing that theme a couple weeks ago about these four points that will help us to grow as people of the Word. Number one, increased intake of Scripture. We can't be people of a Word that we're not reading. Increased appreciation for God's Word. We ought to love God's Word more. We ought to value it more, treasure it more. And so that's another purpose of this point of emphasis. Increased understanding of the Word. It won't do us a lot of good to read it, and even to appreciate it, if we don't understand what we're reading. And then it needs to lead toward number four, the increased obedience to the Word. And as we increase in these four areas, we'll become more and more a people of the Word, and that will be pleasing to God. I'm convinced that's pleasing to God. There are generously sprinkled among us persons of the Word. Maybe you've been a man of the Word, a lady of the Word for years or decades. There's room for growth. I know I want to be more a man of the Word. And if our congregation is filled with people who grow as persons of the Word, we will grow corporately as a people of the Word and see, I believe, an increase in God's work in and through and by and for us. So these aspects, the increased intake, increased appreciation, increased understanding, increased obedience, I think we can see in this morning's scripture text. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 8 of Joshua chapter 1 as we consider this idea, introduce, really try to get off the ground and hopefully pique our interest, our excitement toward being people of the Word. Joshua chapter 1, you know that the book of Deuteronomy ends with the death of Moses, and Joshua is appointed by God as Moses' successor to lead the Israelites in the conquest of the promised land, which Moses was not allowed to partake in because of his lack of faith at the original opportunity to cross into the promised land. And so the book of Joshua opens with these words: "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying," and hopefully you're tracking along, you notice there in verse 1, that's cued you to realize that verses 2 through 8 that we're about to read are the words of God as he speaks to Joshua. God says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." And before we read verse 8, just want to frame the Lord's speech to Joshua to this point by noting, obviously Joshua finds himself in a specific historic situation that doesn't exactly parallel anything that we are facing, and yet, just as Joshua and the Israelites were entering a land filled with people that were ignorant of God's word, disobedient to God's word, perhaps even hostile toward God's word, Joshua and his people, unlike 40 years earlier, were going to have to exercise strength and great courage. They're commanded twice. Joshua is encouraged twice by God to be strong, twice by God, look at verse 6, look at verse 7, twice to have strength, twice to have courage, and the second time there in verse 7 to be very courageous. A principle that we can glean that really carries right over into our context is that as we, as believers here in the 21st century, here in the church age, go out into a world, we're in a world, a culture, a society that's not unlike Canaan in terms of spiritual attitude toward God and toward his word and toward his people. There is, as there was in Joshua's day, not to the same militant level right now in most of our current immediate experience, a hostility toward God's word, an increased skepticism, an increased secularism, an increased paganism, so that the believer who is going to live faithfully for God, surrounded by unbelievers, in hostile, devil-owned territory, as it were, and we live in this temporary earth where the prince of the power of the air has been afforded temporary power to a limited extent, that we too, though we do not go out in military conquest in physical earthly terms, as we go out in spiritual warfare, seeking to, by the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, advance God's kingdom in a heavenly reality, in a spiritual reality, we will face that hostility, we'll face that opposition, we'll face that just estrangement from a people who thinks and believes and lives in total difference and total opposition to this word. We, like Joshua and the Israelites, will need to be strong and we'll need to have courage. If you haven't realized it yet, it takes a lot of courage to live as a person of the word faithfully in a hostile, secular, skeptic, pagan environment. If you have not found that to require strength, if you have not found that to require courage, then you are probably not living as a person of the word to the extent that you may think you are or that God wishes for you to. And what is that extent to which we ought to live as people of the word? What is the degree? What is the measure for how consistent we are to be in our obedience to this word? Well, the end of verse 7 says this: turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. God's instruction to Joshua on the cusp of a new age in Israel's history, an age of conquest, as God's judgment was brought physically against cities that had rejected his word and his truth and continued to crank out generations of people who lived in opposition to him and lived with a trajectory of separation from him, that God finally brings his judgment through the Israelite people. God's word to them at that point in terms of written revelation was the first five books that we have of our Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And so when he refers to the law that's been given to Moses, that is, for the Israelites, all the Bible they had, and they were required to live by it without deviation. Don't depart from it to the right. Don't depart from it to the left. Without deviation, faithfully, strongly, courageously, live by the revealed words that God has given you for instructions in this earth. We can read past that, sometimes kind of quickly, without really taking personal assessment to recognize that we grow very comfortable in an affluent society, a secular society, really a laissez-faire, relative truth society. We grow awfully comfortable in being a person of the word, living for God to a greater degree than most around us. But please notice from this text that God's expectation of you is not simply that you would live according to the word to a greater degree than those around you. We could grow comfortable there. Our earthly, fleshly, comparing, prideful selves easily grow comfortable there. That's not God's desire for you. God's desire for you is that you would live according to his revealed, inspired word without deviation. That you would do, once again, the end of verse 7. Verse 7 says, be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe, that's the idea of obedience, to do according to all the law which Moses thy servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left. God's expectation, God's command, God's instruction for us as people of the word in a hostile environment is to live according to all of his word and to do so without deviation. Now, once again, we know none of us is perfect. None of us will fulfill that all of the time with complete perfection. Yet, no lesser goal, no lesser target is acceptable. We must, if we're going to live by all of this, know what's in here. We must, if we're going to live by what all of this be surrounded by people that are going to encourage us in that, because it cannot be done alone. That strength and courage is a community strength and courage. Now, when you are on your own, the Lord gives strength to do right, but he bolsters that strength, he informs that strength, he prepares us in that strength as a corporate people of the word. come together to seek to follow all of God's word and to do so without deviation. All right, so that's our goal, that's our target, that's our divine commission. Let's talk about those 4 points as they appear here now in verse 8. Number one, an increased intake of the word. If we're going to do all that has been revealed to us, and if we're going to faithfully observe it without deviation to the right or to the left, we are going to have to commit ourselves to an increased intake of the word. We have now 66 books where Joshua and his people had 5. More revelation that is a tremendous privilege, a tremendous blessing, a treasure for us, and yet more truths for which to be responsible. And the command stays the same for us. All that God has revealed to us through divine inspiration, we are responsible for, to live according to, observe everything that's written there without deviation to the right or to the left. So do you know what's in here? And we need to know it, and we need to continue knowing it better. You might have been saved for 90 years and you've read this book 90 times. There is more for you to learn. You need to know it better. Let's increase our intake. I'm really, really enthused that in the lobby, the table that was full of Bible reading material tools, that most of those are gone. That's really exciting to me. I was dreading going back there and finding it all still there. But knowing that people have taken on Bible reading plans, that you've started to put into practice for increased intake, what an encouragement. Stick with those. Those are available now still there. This will be the last week. That table will be back there with those. You can find some of those things on the literature tables later. But this is how verse 8 opens. This book of the law, again, that was the revealed, inspired scripture to this point, recorded in written form. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. All right, so if they're going to know, do everything in it, observe everything in it, live faithfully according to everything in it, without deviation to the right, without deviation to the left, it was going to be necessary that that book not depart out of their mouth. It doesn't mean that written word that you try to ingest it physically, of course. He's speaking here figuratively. Maybe in view the idea of speaking God's word regularly to each other, as speech is in our mouth, but I think even more than that, talking about using a figure of the idea of ingesting, that we are constantly taking in God's word, it never departs from our mouth. My kids are always hungry. It seems like every time I turn around, there's something in their mouth. All right, that is how we, because they're growing, they need that. And so for us, if we're going to grow, we need that. It needs to constantly be in our mouths, not departing out of our mouths. Maybe probably all of us heard the news story just a couple weeks back about traffic backup. What was the I-95 down in Virginia, where people for 20, 30 hours were stuck, and 4 inches of ice and jackknife semi-trucks and emergency vehicles not able to get there, people running out of gas and food and water and these things. But did you see kind of the heartwarming story that came out of that? This couple that a couple vehicles ahead had, after 30 hours without anything to eat, they saw this bakery truck a couple vehicles ahead, and the phone, I think they were able to Google the name of this bakery truck and said, wait, the guy was interviewed later. He said, well, it really seemed like a long shot, but we figured, hey, let's call this bakery up and see if this truck happens to be full of food, if maybe we could get some, because at this point we're starving. And so they called a customer care line, left a message, and say that 20 minutes later, an owner or president of that company called them back on their cell phone and said that yes, they would call and instruct the operator of that truck to open up the truck and to share the bread. And so for the next hour, they were passing out loaves of bread and rolls to people in the vehicles around them so they could have food to eat. Heartwarming story, right? A hunger after God's word should cause us to do what we need to do to get that intake. Job 23:12, Job said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Hey, if we go 30 hours without necessary food, that really starts to gnaw at us. I hope we're never a people that could let 30 hours 3 days, a week go by without the intake of spiritual nutrition, without the intake of God's word that is, like Job said, more esteemed than necessary food, to let that go by and not have it gnaw at us, that we know for our strength to continue, for that courage to hold up, for that observance of everything he's given us to be maintained, we must have an intake of God's word. Jeremiah 15, Jeremiah said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." He's speaking figuratively, like Joshua is in verse 8, "And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." A love for God, a commitment to him, ought to drive a hunger for his word. And we need to regularly intake that life-giving word. That intake ought to be varied and balanced. And what I mean by that is that don't just have the lackadaisical habit of in your Bible reading saying, "Well, I guess I ought to read my Bible today. Let's see where it falls open." Or let's just kind of flip through and I'll stick my finger somewhere and see what that says. Or let's just, you know, open this app and see what it suggests to read today, and tomorrow I'll do something else. Or, you know, I'll take this topic that I'm interested in and I'll just read about that. Or my favorite book is the book of Psalms and it's so comforting, I'll just read that. We have to have broader swaths. We have to have a balanced and varied intake of God's word. You've probably heard about the disease known as scurvy. You heard about scurvy? Well, you don't hear about it that much often unless, you know, maybe in books or on, movies set in older periods. But it's a real disease. The symptoms are weakness and feeling tired and sore arms, sore legs, gum disease, changes to the hair, eventually bleeding from the skin. It's a deadly disease. And you can read about and find that in the age of sail, when there were a lot of ships going back and forth across the Atlantic, manned by crews of people, that it was simply expected that 50% of the sailors on a major voyage would die of scurvy. You had to, however many people had to be on that ship by the end of the journey, you better start it with twice that many, because it was just expected half of them are going to die of scurvy. This is mid-15th century or 16th into the mid-19th century. For hundreds of years, people were sailing, they were getting scurvy, they were dying of it. No one knew what caused it, no one knew how to treat it until late 18th century. It was finally discovered that the problem was a lack of ascorbic acid, a vitamin C deficiency, that as the ship got, you know, a couple of months out from port, and there's no more fresh fruits, no more fresh vegetables, and all they're eating is maybe dried meat or fish or hardtack or other things, that there wasn't that vitamin C coming from the fresh vegetables and the citrus fruit intake, and that's what was causing this disease, and so many people died. It was because their diet wasn't varied enough. Sometimes I'm worried my kids might get scurvy. They don't want to eat those fruits and vegetables. Maybe you have a spouse that you can tell them today at lunch, "Hey, you're going to get scurvy if you don't eat that." Might be a motivating factor. There's actually 20,000 diagnosed cases of it annually. Yet today, obviously more treatable, thankfully now. But you know, to avoid spiritual scurvy, we need a steady, consistent, varied, balanced diet of intake of God's word. And that's a really great purpose for, if you've never done it before, the plans that have you reading through it through the year, or maybe reading, some do it from Genesis to Revelation, some do some in the old, some in the new, and gradually work through it, some read it chronologically. The gospel rotation plan that's on the bookmark has greatest focus on the instructions for the New Testament church from Romans to Jude, but not at the neglect of the rest of Scripture. It's okay to focus where the words in Scripture focus more specifically on our day and need and commissioning, but we need all of it. Hosea 4:6, the prophet laments, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." We could say, "Well, again, my Psalms is just my favorite," or, "Well, I'm I'm struggling with anger, so my devotion is I just read whatever passages there are in the Bible about anger, and that's just that's my Bible reading plan. That's a little bit like if you take the bowl of Lucky Charms and you just eat the marshmallows. That could get you through a rough day. But as a long-term steady diet, it's going to have serious consequences, lead to deficiencies. We need increased intake of God's word. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Hope that you consider this more esteemed than your necessary food, that you love it like Job, you hunger for it like Jeremiah, that as Jesus said, you seek to live by it. I want to tell you about a tool that can help with increased intake of God's word that probably most of you have available to you on your smartphone. How many have some kind of Bible app already on your smartphone? I'm seeing hands for maybe about half of us. I want to show just a very brief video. If you don't have a Bible app on your phone, pay extra close attention to this. There's going to come up an icon here. If you have an Apple device, you go to the App Store. The logo looks like that. If you have an Android, you can go to Google Play. All right, and download. You're looking to download an app. So when that comes up in the top, you type in the word Bible and hit search. The first non-sponsored result is probably going to be this one. It's called the YouVersion, but you'll just see an orange-colored Bible. It says Holy Bible. It loads and opens up. Here's the home page. I love how it shows you how many days in a row you've read, how many weeks in a row you've read on your app. Down at the bottom, if you click Bible, it'll bring up the text of Scripture. Notice at the top, you can choose what version you want, what book you want to look in. If you click on Genesis there, it'll bring up all 66 books of the Scripture. And so for our purpose this morning, we'll just go ahead and select the book of Joshua. It's going to show all the chapters. You can jump to any chapter. We're in chapter 1 this morning, so we'll just go straight to chapter 1. And as soon as you hit that, it'll bring up the text of Joshua. Now you can read and scroll there. You can listen to the Bible. Hit this play button at the bottom, and a narrating voice will immediately start to read the text of Joshua 1. The audio icon at the top will give you more options, a little bit more of a user-friendly interface where you can play and pause, fast-forward, rewind, and even adjust the speed of the narration. If you hit the one times down in the corner there, and boy, I just really want to listen, I'm going to slow it down to three-quarters speed, or a section where you're paying close attention, you want to read it a little faster even. Double-click any verse, and you can highlight it. You can record a note with it. The app will save your highlights. It'll save your notes. It'll save your spot where you left. It can even, for you, suggest some reading plans. There's the read the Bible through in a year. There's the chronological reading plan. And you can set it to give you reminders day after day, hey, it's time to read your Bible. So the YouVersion is what that's called. There's Bible.is, which has a lot of great Bible audio listening options. And then the Blue Letter Bible has some original language tools. These are free, they're available, and they're tools that can help you with increased intake of God's word. Now, if I went too fast there, ask one of your grandkids. They'll get that right up for you. This little quick tutorial video is also available on our website. If you go to Sermons tab and click on People of the Word, it'll take you to a page that has this, has a link where it can take you straight to the Bible app for download, has this bookmark with the Gospel Rotation Bible Reading Plan, has the Robert Murray Machine Bible Reading Through a Year Plan in PDF form, and as the year goes on, there'll be other resources available there too. But I know for some of us, you know, the reading of the text is a challenge, whether it's your vision or maybe dyslexia or other things that make Bible intake a challenge for you. I still like to bring this to church. You know, if you forgot it, the app is great as a backup plan. I still like to do, you know, have daily devotions in, you know, a written copy where the notes are just a little bit more tangible. You can remember where you found something on a page, and it kind of wears with age in a good way. But not at the neglect of other tools available to us. You know, you could be in a parking lot waiting for your spouse to come out of the grocery store, or waiting for to get called in for your doctor's appointment or something like that. With a couple of taps on your phone, you lay your head back and you're listening to Scripture. All of the as you're washing dishes, a couple of taps, and you're listening into Scripture, and you know, getting your, you know, doing your hair for the day, or working out in the garage, and with a couple of taps, as you're driving to work, your daily commute, a couple of taps, and you're listening to Scripture. Great tools available to help increase our intake of God's Word. We got to move kind of quickly now, but the next two are increased appreciation for God's Word and increased understanding of God's Word. And those are kind of both hinted at in this next phrase here in Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Okay, how are we going to live by God's word? How are we going to observe all to do, all to do, and not deviate it from the right or from the left? Well, first of all, it can't depart from our mouth. There's got to be a constant intake, an increased intake. But it can't just stop there. It has to resonate in our hearts. There has to be a meditation where it's not like some other reading assignments or cookbooks or other things or fiction that you enjoy reading where you can read it, close the book, and go about your day and until next time you open it up again. These are truths you must take with you. These must lodge in your heart. These must be brought up again into your mind. Well, what was that verse that God really used to speak to me this morning? That's going to help me in this discouraging time. What was that verse that really struck me and convicted me this morning? That's going to inform me in this time of temptation. What was that verse that, you know, I really actually didn't understand? Well, as I'm meditating on it, God is kind of unlocking that truth to me as I think more about it, or as I talk to someone else, or as I now come across a cross-reference that provides a little extra light there. Meditation, constantly. When he says day and night, doesn't mean, hey, okay, so I'll do it for 5 minutes at 8 a.m. and I'll do it for 5 minutes at 8 p.m. But rather the idea is all the time, whether it's day, whether it's night, God's truths are resonating in my mind, being brought back up, and I'm gleaning truths from what I read from his word. My Bible intake is continuing to nurture me throughout the day. We need to appreciate God's word more. I get a little bit of that by looking at those old Bibles in the lobby. To me, that's just really cool. You appreciate God's word and some of the history behind it that you don't just by opening an app. But to continue to cultivate that appreciation throughout this year as our theme unfolds, we'll talk about the biblical doctrines of revelation, inspiration, the canonization of Scripture, the preservation of Scripture, the translation, and the illumination. That's a six-step process where truth comes from the mind and heart of God into the mind and heart of man. So we'll talk about those things more to help us appreciate our Bibles. We'll look at the historic accounts of Bible writers, of Bible translators, of Bible smugglers, and of some Bible discoverers where lost and older copies have been found and things like that. So a lot of us, you know, we could grow at risk where the Bible's so available to us that we take it for granted. It sits on a shelf. We open it when we need to. There's a picture here of a Bible that I was writing with a few church men. This is 8 or 9 years ago, and we were writing to hear a special speaker and having a little theological discussion, and the man driving said to me in the back seat, "Hey, my Bible's back there. Open it up and look up this verse." And I just had to take a picture. I didn't ask permission. I did tell him later that I had done this. But this was every page of this dear brother's Bible was filled with these highlight marks and marginal notes and underlinings and circlings. And many of you have Bibles that look like this. I know sometimes I've heard of people who feel irreverent if they mark in their Bibles. But I really think that God is okay with us responding to what he teaches to us. When you read your Bible, it ought to be marking you and changing you and leaving its mark. And it's okay for that to be a two-way conversation so that years later as I come back and read, here's something God taught me about this scripture last time I read it. Here's something that really spoke to me. And now this time I just read over it and didn't miss it. Maybe I need to go back. Or here's something I heard at church that really helps me understand this word or organize this passage. And you've probably heard the saying, a Bible that's falling apart often falls apart, often belongs to a person whose life isn't. I don't think I got that quite right. But the Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone whose life isn't. Psalm 119:103, the The psalmist said, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Is that your testimony? I know it doesn't always, it can be, that is a spiritual progress for us to get to where David is there. The earthly-minded person, you could start reading this and, yeah, it may be kind of cool and exciting for a couple of verses, but it can be also take a lot of discipline to train yourself to read through a passage and try to do so with understanding. It's not as, you know, we're a visual society now. You can turn on the TV and the graphics and the sound and everything are amazing. It can take some discipline and some quieting of the soul to dig into Scripture, to cultivate an appreciation for it, and to get to where David was. But make that your prayer. God, increase my appreciation for your word. Make it sweeter than honey to me. In terms of understanding, increased understanding of God's word. Remember if Philip went to the Ethiopian eunuch and saw him struggling through the book of Isaiah and said, they phrased this question, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And we need to consider that question as we increase our Bible intake and try to appreciate it. We need to be able to understand it. Corporate Bible study is a great help with that. The more you come to church for our regular Sunday services, for our weekday meetings, whether it's book study or prayer breakfast or midweek Bible study and prayer time, our Sunday morning, our Sunday night, your private meetings over, you know, breakfast with a fellow church member, those times of helping each other, God has gifted us spiritually for that to increase our understanding of Scripture. Use of Bible study tools like commentaries and specifically study Bibles. A study Bible can be so helpful. A question that you have from the text might be answered right at the bottom. Although study notes are not inspired and aren't always 100% accurate, choose a good study Bible, but those can be tremendously helpful as you seek to increase your understanding of God's Word. And even we'll talk more later this year about the use of various English Bible translations. I know when you say that, some of you have questions about that. Some of you have some concerns about that. Some of you have already been taking advantage of modern English Bible translations. There are some things to be careful of and some things to take advantage of, and I hope it piques your interest and prayers as we work toward increasing our understanding through that venue this year. And finally is the increased obedience to God's Word, and it has to lead here, doesn't it? If we read it, we appreciate it, and even understand it, but we don't obey it, this is the highlighted phrase at the end of verse 8, toward the end, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. The purpose of it not leaving your mouth, the purpose of meditating on it day and night, the purpose of increased intake and increased appreciation and increased understanding isn't to check a box of duty, isn't to make you feel better about having done your spiritual task for the day, isn't to swell up your head with Bible trivia that can make you look smart or have the answers in class or at a trivia game. It's about being better equipped to be able to live in obedience to God. That thou mayest observe to do all that is written in it. Remember, James said that if anyone's a hearer of the word, we're intaking it, we're understanding it, we're appreciating it, but not a doer, it doesn't translate to obedience. That's like a person who beholds his natural face in a glass, then goes his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And that's the promise that God gives to Joshua. Way back in Joshua 1:8, look at now highlighted the last phrase of the verse. As it doesn't depart from your mouth, as you meditate on it day and night, as you observe to do everything that's in it, look at the result. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. There are volumes of works written in our world that are available to show you how to prosper and to show you how to have good success. And they'll work in various temporary degrees to a different variety of results. But for success in God's eyes, for spiritual prospering, this is the formula that we're given. We need to be people of the Word. Increased intake, increased appreciation, increased understanding, and increased obedience. And it's not just even encapsulated there for the sake of being people of the Word, so we have all these things. It has to lead us toward and flow out of a love for God. As we know Him better through His Word, we'll be motivated to obey Him through love. It's not about all these things that we do in our power so that God will be pleased with us or impressed by us. It's about cultivating a relationship with Him by being a person of the Word, so that I live in obedience out of love in a close relationship with God. Well, I bet that couple starving 30 hours parked behind a bakery truck after it was said and done maybe asked each other, you know, why didn't we call sooner? I had to starve for 30 hours first. But what about you? What about you? Like those stuck in that traffic jam, like Joshua and his people on the verge of the promised land, there are dangers and troubles on every side of us. And we're going to be stuck here for a while. Most of us, likely, if the Lord tarries. We need the spiritual nutrition of God's Word. And praise God, there's a truckload of it right in front of us. Will you call on Him and ask Him to open it up to you? Ask Him to make it nutritious to you. Ask Him to feed you, not with bread alone, but with every word that proceeds out of His mouth, so that you, like Job, could say, I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. Or like Jeremiah, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. May God make us a people of His word. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord as Savior, Bible intake and appreciation, understanding are going to be fruitful for you, but obedience to it is dependent on a personal relationship with God. Love for God and a relationship with Him where you follow Him and grow closer to Him, that's dependent on a personal relationship. And a personal relationship is impossible until you have your heart's sin problem dealt with. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, if you've never been born again by His grace through your faith in Jesus' death on the cross as payment for your sin and as the only payment and as the sufficient payment, you first need to become a child of God, and then you can become a person of the Word. We're here to help you with that. We hope that each one here, if you need to become a child of God, that you'll make that decision. See one of us after service. You can even come forward during the closing hymn. And if you want to commit this year, maybe you already made a commitment a couple of weeks ago, but God's moving in your heart as He did in Joshua's and the people of Israel to say, hey, as I go out in life from this place, both physically today and metaphorically as I launch out in life for the rest of my days, I want to be a person of the Word. I want to observe to do according to all that's written therein and not deviate from to the right or to the left. I want to follow God by being a person of the Word. Hopefully you use this closing hymn, this closing prayer time to make that